Hey, Beyond the Reiki Gateway listeners, Andrea here with a life-changing opportunity. If you're an empath, intuitive, or a highly sensitive person who struggles with unresolved traumas, physical symptoms, emotional battles, or a deep sense of loneliness, this message is for you. Intuitive healing facilitator, two-time best-selling author, and your past BTRG guest, Dave Markowitz, believes that four primal original wounds, which he calls the four abandonments, could be the root cause of your challenges. Join Dave on Saturday, June 1st, for a free online event where he'll guide you through these wounds and show you how to start overcoming them. In just one illuminating hour, you'll trace your struggles back to their origins, experience a guided meditation to release their hold on you, and discover how these wounds can actually be catalysts for your healing and growth. To reserve your spot, visit the link in our show notes, newsletter, or on our website's partner page. Don't miss this opportunity to embark on your path of healing and transformation. Isn't it about time? Get to the bottom of it and let Dave help you every step of the way. RSVP now and receive the recording if you can't make it live. We hope to see you there. Welcome beyond the Reiki Gateway. I'm your host, Andrea Kennedy. Like countless others, Reiki found me when I wasn't even looking, and then it ignited a whole new world of questions. This podcast explores topics of interest for the spiritually curious. Join me for discussions and special guests on subjects such as past lives, crystal healing, spiritual awakening, ascension, energy healing, and more, all to assist and inspire you along your unique soul's journey. This episode is sponsored by Mainstream Reiki, offering live and online Reiki classes and a membership community to help Reiki practitioners succeed and grow in their practice. Find out more at mainstreamreiki.com. Hello and welcome to Beyond the Reiki Gateway. I'm your host, Andrea, and today I've got Carol J. Obley, and she's a renowned spiritual medium who has conducted over 14,000 readings. She serves as a bridge between heaven and earth, providing validation and comfort to loved ones with her startling clarity and accuracy. Carol offers heartfelt guidance on relationships, careers, and finances. Join us as we explore what Carol has learned throughout her decades-long journey, including her insights into the afterlife and her passion for empowering others to develop their own intuition. Carol, I am so honored that you said yes, and you're here beyond the Reiki Gateway with us. I'm just looking through everything you've written. You've written multiple books. Your book that came out in 2020 is Wisdom from the Spirit World. And I just really wanted to have you on for our audience because I think we can all learn a lot from you and your experience. And so thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So I want to start with, if you could just give us a bit of an introduction, because I think a lot of us, maybe we have intuition and we're curious about this kind of thing. And you have done this for so long. I wonder, how did it all unfold for you? Were you always gifted? Did you always know? Or did you come to this, you know, as an adult?
I came to it as an adult. I never used the word gifted for myself. I mean, other people have said that. I personally believe and have experienced that humility is very essential in the healing field. So I usually term mediumship as a skill that has been developed, and I was born with it, but remained unaware of it until I was in my late 30s. And that's when I really was set squarely onto the pathway. And it was actually through something very bad, and that was a fire that burned my business that I was operating at the time. You know, I guess God or the universe said, you're not going to do this anymore. And then put me on this pathway after about a year. when I was a child, I was very interested in all sorts of things, you know, paranormal and spiritual. And ironically, was very afraid of death. You know, to come onto this pathway, I guess that's what it took to take me out of what I was doing at that time. And it's just spiraled from there in a good direction.
Wow. Did you just begin to take classes? Did you go to a medium? What were those early steps for you?
There's a small metaphysical center near my hometown here. A friend called me and invited me to go there. And I resisted for months. And then she called back and said, you need to come here. And they really focused in the center on healing and on Reiki. So there was three female ministers and they were all Reiki masters. And so from day one, when I stepped into that center, I felt as if I had come home. And I'm sure many listeners can identify with that. When you meet up with certain people, when you're put onto or you find yourself on a certain pathway, you feel just like breathing and going, I feel at home here. I feel comfortable. And so that's what happened with me. And from there, I got my first level one Reiki attunement. And I waited about a year in between each attunement. And in between, I took classes on intuition, went to a place called Delphi University. It's near Atlanta, Georgia. That's where I really delved into immediately mediumship training. And then took a lot of training at Lilydale, New York, the spiritualist community. I've also taught there many, many times and continue to teach at Lilydale. So yes, this field requires constant upgrades, if you will. You really can't rest on your laurels as far as anything. So I've just even recently taking advanced mediumship after this many years, almost 30 years.
Wow, that's really surprising to me, Carol, that you keep learning and taking courses and find value in that after all your experience. Wow, that's really neat.
Yeah, it's because there's always refinement. I mean, I'm at the level now that, and I say this completely without any arrogance at all, but I'm at the level where I'm pretty certain that when I tell something to a client that it's accurate. However, there can always be refinement, and that's basically within me as the receiver to really know and hear what the spirit world is saying, because I'm here to serve them and what they want to say to the recipient of that reading.
Yeah, I love too what you said, that the refinement is really within you. I just think that's beautiful, the way you put that, and that you put it out there. Yeah, because the other thing too is I think it's important for people to know. You know, I've heard recently someone said to me that intuition or psychics can be the best of the best, maybe 80% to 90% accurate. What do you think about that? Do you think that's pretty fair?
I do. And I have no idea where I would be on that scale. But the only gauge I have, and it's probably the best gauge, is feedback from the recipients. And that includes, you know, during the session itself for validation, but also emails that I receive, phone calls, you know, months later, years later sometimes. That just happened, by the way.
Did it?
You know, a couple of months ago, a woman that I had read for emailed me and said, you know, you told me this, and it was 15 years ago. And she said, I thought at the time that you were totally not tuned in and that it was incorrect. And then, you know, I received this email and she said, it was exactly what unfolded. So now that was more of a psychic type of thing. I do many different things, many, many. I have studied astrology for many years. I do these things called karmic astrology readings to help people understand what their karma is, why they're here, what their skills are, what their challenges are. but I also do life guidance, or what I call psychic readings. And that's what this particular one had to do with. So it's quite amazing the feedback that has come through. And I'm grateful for that, because how else are you going to know that you're correct, that you're tuned in, that you are helping people? And that's the number one motive behind this work, is to be of service. Everything flows from there.
Yes, I think that's of the utmost importance, is that motivation and that drive. So, you know, I love that you shared that. Can you tell us a little bit about the mediumship part of your work? And I want to say too, I love that you have such an array of training and knowledge that you bring. So really, probably any service that you're offering for someone, bringing all of that knowledge to a session with someone has to really enrich the whole offering, I would imagine.
It does. It truly does. And there are certain times I'll get, using my own intuition, and say, you know, I think that the tool of astrology is going to be able to serve this individual better than doing the reading without it. These are tools. I'm also self-taught in the tarot. I've used the tarot for many, many years. I teach the tarot, particularly as it relates to spirituality, the journey of the soul, starting with the Fool card, which is Arcana Zero, and then going to the World card, which is Arcana number 21, and the different archetypes that are involved there with the tarot, to help people understand these are normal phases that we go through with awakening here spiritually in the 3D reality.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I want to talk to you about that a little later in the show, I think, too, about these times that we're in and your perspective on some of that. But the mediumship in particular, you have done that so long and had so many different sessions like that. I'm wondering if you could share with us, what is the number one message that you hear from spirit coming through for those people that you meet with?
Well, in wisdom from the spirit world, I believe there are eight or nine primary lessons. I begin with lesson number one: there is an afterlife. And that might sound mundane or whatever, but there is an afterlife. And I hear that over and over and over. I don't talk about me as if I'm deceased, because I'm very much alive. And that will come through from souls in the spirit world. And then also, I go on. What you saw at the end of life with maybe disease or exhaustion or whatever, I'm not that way at all. I'm alive. I'm robust. I'm transformed. The physical body was only temporary, and my consciousness goes on. So those are very primary lessons from those in spirit. There are some people that, believe it or not, I mean, you know, they may be on the edge. What happens when we die? Is there really an afterlife? You know, maybe somebody who feels that they want to believe that, or they want to know it in their heart, but they really need that evidence that comes through in the reading. So I would say that that is the most common. And then, of course, there are others.
Do you find that the people that come to you for mediumship services, do they not believe there's an afterlife? A lot of them. Does that really help them? Or do you find that most of them do think that there's an afterlife? I mean, because why would they be there?
Most do. But I will tell you that over the years, I have read for people who were skeptical. Yeah. They were either skeptical about the existence of consciousness after physical passing, or they were skeptical about the ability to communicate with souls who are disembodied.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you brought that up, because I guess I didn't think of that as two separate things, two separate questions. But yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain people that, particularly with religious views, that have been taught that it's not possible to do this, A, or B, that it's wrong to do this.
Oh.
But yet they're very curious. Maybe not in a superficial sense, but they really want that contact and that communication with a beloved family member. Or, you know, I've done many readings too where people's pets come through. I do not consider myself an animal communicator. However, I've studied animal communication pretty in depth as well. In many readings, pets do come through. So there's a wide array. There's a lot. Every time I say that I've had, you know, every experience that there is, then something else happens. So I quit saying that.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
But truly, yeah. I mean, I've read for people from all walks of life, different, you know, religious backgrounds, different spirituality, internationally, actually, at this point. So wide array of people. You know what they all have in common? They want to know what the reality is beyond this physical reality.
Yes.
Whether it's life guidance on what's my purpose? What am I here to do? What is the focus this time of my soul? And that's where the Akashic file record comes in, is really focusing on that sort of thing.
And then in your readings, you access that for them as well?
Yes, that started happening to me spontaneously many years ago. I was sitting with people, and I mean many years ago, and I would start to see scenes on their, I believe it was their left shoulder. And I would go, what is that, to myself? And then I started telling people or describing what I was seeing. And they would say, that's funny. I've always felt that. Or I've always been drawn to that particular culture. Or in the emotional body, you know, I've always felt a block in this particular area. I've always struggled with that. And so you can go back to the origins, the root of where that came from, that particular emotion or blockage, or, and even on the good end, on the positive end, where did this particular skill come from? You know, this natural tendency, where did that originate? So that people can really understand that.
Yeah. And I would imagine too, as part of these readings with people, they may really go into areas they didn't plan on, you know, when they set up the appointment with you, because just wondering perhaps, is there an afterlife? Can we communicate? Is that all right to do? And then past lives might come up, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Usually what I look at is not the entertainment of the whole thing, which, you know, sometimes people get into that aspect of it or with mediumship. I take it with a lot of respect. For this is a sacred soul that I'm communicating with, either from the spirit world or, you know, actually, and, you know, the recipient of the reading too. What has the soul done? What has the soul created in prior existences here? How are they still using that today? I really get into the themes of, you know, that's what's really important as far as prior lifetimes. What are the themes that the soul has addressed? And usually those kind of bleed through into the current existence as well.
Right. All of these things that we've been talking about, I could see where they would really help people. But I'd like to hear, you know, from your direct perspective, how do you think mediumship really does help people heal?
Well, there are several ways. The first is the connection with the heart bond between two or more people or pets. That bond of love is what needs to be established, recognized. I should say it's already established, but reinforced. That's number one. It's indestructible through physical death. And that bond of love is enduring. I would say that that's number one. Secondly, the recognition for the recipient of that reading, that they too are an eternal soul, that this is not the be all. This life, this physical life is not the be all and the end all of the soul's experiences. And I think that that's often overlooked in mediumship, that people don't, when it's advertised or when it's promoted, that people think it's just about the communication between those souls and the medium being, you know, between that, you know, that's why we're called mediums, but it is more than that. And healing in the recognition that we are eternal souls. We're not limited to this lifetime. We're not limited by our beliefs, by our thoughts. And then thirdly, that each of us has the ability within ourselves to receive communication from the spirit world, from beyond the veil. You do not have to be a medium. That's why I teach. I've done many years of teaching to help people open up to their own innate skills, mediumistic skills, intuitive skills. Anyone who is worth their salt in this field is doing teaching to help people understand that that ability lies within their own soul.
So do you think that all people can be mediums?
No.
No. But all people are intuitive. So I guess what I'm asking is, what's your take on that? You're teaching classes, but what is possible for people?
It's sort of like, and I'm sure some of the listeners have heard this, everybody could play chopsticks on the piano, maybe with two fingers, you know, but very few people are going to be able to sit down, you know, be a concert pianist or perform on stage. And we all have skills. I love music. But there's no way that I would be able to go give a full concert on my own with a whatever instrument or with singing. I love singing. I don't have that ability, but I do have this ability. Yes, everyone has intuition. And my new book that'll be coming out at the end of this year addresses that in particularly. So we all have the ability. But not everybody is called to this pathway. You will know if you are called because the path will find you. This is not something that you go out and you go, yeah, I think I'll try that. And so, yes, you have to be curious, but really the path finds you. And, you know, not everyone is meant to be on this path. It takes a tremendous amount of time to develop. I'm always dismayed when I see that people who take a weekend workshop and then they go, well, now I can do readings. It doesn't work like that. You need to have constant practice, training. You need to sit in development circles. This is something that doesn't arise overnight. Even if you were born with the ability, like I was and like many others are, you still have to focus. And you have to hone that skill.
When you were talking, I thought, when you said about the weekend thing and then just go and do readings, ooh, this is delicate. What a delicate area to give a reading of this sort to another person. That would be a huge responsibility, you know, from my perspective, that would take a lot of practice in an environment that you can practice.
That's why I get upset sometimes when I see everybody's a medium nowadays. You know, I see so many people and, well, I'm a psychic medium. Well, what's your definition of that? Because sometimes people will say they're a psychic medium and they're communicating with the angels or they're coming from their own higher self, which is intuition. That is not mediumship. That is not evidentiary mediumship. Presenting facts of the communicating spirit. And that's why I say it takes many years and a lot of experience to know and to trust, particularly to trust. That is the number one obstacle in mediumship is lack of trust. that what you're receiving is indeed accurate, that you're not sort of spewing forth your own thoughts, that this is coming from someplace other than your own mind. So yes, there is a lot of responsibility, because actually you could do harm to people if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I could completely see that. And you use the term evidential.
Evidentiary. Yeah.
So just to be clear, could you define what that is?
Evidentiary mediumship is the presentation of facts about the communicating spirit's life. And that can include examples of that are the personality, what the person did for a living, specific memories from that soul's life, physical life, dates, locations, objects that were given to the recipient of the reading or exchanged with that individual, objects that they might have that came from that communicating spirit. So there are many different things that can come through in the reading. The relationship between those two people, the nature of the relationship, that is all evidence that actually must be presented for the recipient to know that that's who's speaking.
Right, because it's verifiable.
Correct. Correct.
That makes so much sense. Yeah, so much sense. We were talking about healing and what the person you meet with, that potential for healing. And I have to imagine a lot of people you meet with are in grief and maybe even have issues with forgiveness. You know, maybe there was circumstances around the death and things like that. But I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit about grief or perhaps forgiveness, because I have to think that that's kind of got to be a big part of what you do or what you work with, isn't it?
It is forgiveness. And I've written in all of my books about the power of forgiveness. And also I call it the cornerstone of healing. The cornerstone, meaning without that block, the building's not going to stand. It really is the key to opening up higher dimensions of the soul. And in a spiritual sense, forgiveness simply means a release of the past, you know, not holding on to the past. That's another lesson in wisdom from the spirit world, is our wounds, which are usually in the past, do not limit or define us. They don't diminish the light within. So forgiveness is crucial to being able to heal, and particularly forgiveness of self. You know, that's something that I struggled with for many years because I got into a lot of trouble when I was younger. And I've written very openly, I'm extremely transparent about my own life and very real. And so I got into a lot of trouble, particularly with addiction. You know, I've written in my books about that, and recovery through 12-step. So I needed to forgive myself for the behavior of those old days. So forgiveness is, yes, it's central. It's central. Being able to release and realize that it was simply reframing it as an experience that we had, not as the be-all and end-all of a definition of limitation of who we are, but reframing it as simply an experience that we've learned through.
Right. Yeah, I think you just really highlighted that self-forgiveness. I agree. I think that can be the hardest sort of forgiveness that we can ever be faced with.
For me, it has been. Yeah, because, and I mean, I even, when I accompanied my father going to the denomination of church that I grew up in, I did still, and I mean, this was in recent years, that I did a lot of work through the Christ energy of forgiveness and release of my past. So it's really important to do that. and to realize that we can keep the good from that and keep the lessons and release the pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Very transformative. Grief. How have you seen people heal grief through mediumship?
Through the recognition that the bond of love still exists, no matter what. No matter what. No matter the years, there's no time in the spirit world. No matter the maybe even distance between people relationship-wise, that is forever. Relationships are eternal. And so having that comfort, and I have people who contact me, you know, maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, they sort of need that injection, that upgrade, that refurbishing of that relationship. It's not that anything has happened to that, but it's just that it's sort of a refreshing of that relationship. And so they'll contact me again. I certainly never encourage dependency with this work. That is highly unethical. I'm extremely ethical with the work. And I will tell you that spirit will knock you off of the pathway if you are not in high ethics with this pathway.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I've learned that. I learned that a long time ago. And I've actually turned people away who go, well, you know, I need another reading. Well, you know, you need to let this settle. You need to digest it. You should know that within you is the ability to connect. It's not in the same way, certainly, from a stranger that doesn't know you, like the medium, but because you have a direct pathway through the bond of love, that's where that is. And that's within you.
Hello, it's Andrea, and in addition to being your host here at the podcast, I'm the founder of Mainstream Reiki, where bringing Reiki further into the mainstream is my mission. I offer quality Reiki classes of all levels to students attending live from around the world. And I've built a membership community as well to help Reiki people connect with each other through discussions, events, and Reiki practice. So if you're considering learning Reiki, or you already have, I invite you to visit mainstreamreiki.com to discover your next step in your Reiki journey. Thank you. And now, back to the show. And you write about, too, how signs and how some of that communication can take place. Is that correct?
Yes. In my second book, I'm Still With You, True Stories of Healing Grief, those are all exactly the way the readings unfolded. I transcribed from, get this, cassette tapes, dating myself with that. But I sat at my computer with headsets on and listened to these tapes and then transcribed as the reading unfolded. So there is an entire chapter in that book on what are called ADCs, after death communication between the recipient and that soul. And yes, there are many different signs, many different categories.
Can you explain some of those? Can you share some of those with us?
Nature, the appearance of certain birds, encounters with animals, birds in nature, finding feathers on the pathway synchronistically, meaningfully. The appearance of rainbows, you know, when we're thinking about that particular person that's passed, there's actually a story in there of a mom who lost her son and the rainbow comes when she was driving. She was missing him. You know, the road she was on, she came over a hilltop and there in the sky was a rainbow right when she was thinking about her son. That's synchronicity, meaningful coincidence, electricity. You know, lights flashing, television acting odd. There's a reading in I'm Still With You about synchronistic voice from an answering device. Again, another family that lost the son, and he communicated through you know, making the answering machine going off and on, played with the television set. Sense? No, it's called clairalliance, getting a scent from the spirit world, a perfume, cigarette smoke, maybe even different types of foods. So there are many different categories. Feeling that person's presence, you know, just feeling them through your own intuition. Dream visitations, you know, where there's a direct link between the souls. Those are some of the categories, so that there's many different ways that people can connect on their own. Those are really gifts when we get those. Those are gifts from the spirit world.
Yeah, and I love that we talked a little about that, because I'm sure somebody's listening out there and it's helping them believe that when they had that scent or when they saw that rainbow, it really was meaningful. So yeah, if you're wondering, it was real. It was real. I want to ask about, you know, sometimes souls don't cross over, but what I want to really ask about is if we are having signs from them, if we're seeing the rainbow, if we're smelling them, I just want to be clear about this. Can they be fully crossed over and still communicate with us? What would you say about that?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I think that's reassuring, because I think sometimes people, and you're the one really to ask this, but I'm thinking sometimes people are worried that their family member hasn't fully crossed over. Is that accurate or no?
Yeah. And I can tell you that probably the one thing that will keep sort of, I think what you're asking is sort of like an earthbound spirit, would be a very intense emotional attachment to a place, or, you know, there's tons of unfinished emotional business. I mean, that does happen. But the vast majority of souls, I mean, they go to the spirit world, they go to the light. However, there are those who do remain here for the reasons that I said. I've actually had experience with that. I don't do a lot of clearing or releasing. That I don't really do that. My work is mainly about healing and communication. So I don't do a lot of, you know, releases of attachments and things like that. But yeah, I mean, if you had the choice to be in paradise or be here, what would you choose? I would want to be in paradise, or, you know, the beauty and the peace of the spirit world. And it is beautiful, and it is. You know, you've heard the expression, the peace that passes all understanding. It's really true. That is the spirit world.
Ah, yeah. And so I think I'm curious too, what have you learned from all the work that you've done about what happens in the transition then? Can you speak about that? What is the experience that the soul has at death?
Well, and again, there's a whole chapter. It's called Death, a Beginning. And I'm still with you. True stories. I take readers from the point of death, the release of the physical body, all the way up until the point of coming back here again, which would be reincarnation. So just a very brief synopsis, the tunnel of light, moving through a white tunnel of light, having the afterlife assessment, the life review. Most of your listeners have probably heard about that. And it is true that that occurs. And then from that point, you know, the determination, I guess I'm going to be here for a while. What do I want to do here? And so there are multiple choices that can be made depending upon the soul's individual consciousness. So it's very unique to each soul. I've seen spirits engaging in hobbies that they had here. It sounds really funny, but these are things that I have seen. I write about all of this in my books. And then also engaging in similar focuses from what the individual did here during physical life. For example, teaching, let's say. I have actually seen spirits who make the choice to engage with, you know, souls who pass at a younger age. Children, teenagers, working with those souls, doctors, being spirit doctors, people who involved in the clergy, still engaging in that, and helping people here in the physical realm through those sorts of things. So it's a whole nother existence from the time that we pass over until we come back here.
And then can you speak about what does happen from there to the reincarnation?
From my experience, what I've seen is we sit with our spirit team or spirit guides, those souls who help us, and we make an assessment. What do I need more experience with? In Wisdom from the Spirit World, I call it the soul's report card. So we ourselves look at our life and give ourselves a grade. How did I do with compassion this time? Did I get a C? Did I fail it? Did I get an A? How did I do with generosity? These are divine qualities. How did I do with relationships? Are there unfinished relationships? Oh yeah, I look at that and I didn't do so well with that. We grade ourselves. And from that perspective, we know what we have to focus on in the next incarnation. And by the way, that can be seen right there in the natal chart. The minute that the second that the soul enters the physical body, the planets were in certain signs. They were in certain what are called houses or areas of life. They were in certain relationship with one another. So looking at a natal chart, you can see that if you're trained. What did the soul sign up for this time? And the first section of Wisdom from the Spirit World is called You Signed Up for This. And that means
I love that.
Sitting in spirit, what did the soul plan? And I call them blueprints. I don't call them contracts. I call them blueprints.
Yeah. Can we change those, do you think, when we come into body?
That's why I call them blueprints, because there's much more choice involved. You know, free will is a fact. And so there's much more choice involved with blueprints than with contracts. So I believe that, say that, you know, I really need a lot more lessons in compassion. And I'm born. And let's say I get to a certain age and I go, you know, I keep feeling like I need to work with children who've been abused. I can make that choice. Maybe I go to college, I get a degree in, you know, sociology or social work, or I get a master's degree in that. So I'm going to help families who are, you know, in need of that. Or I go into psychotherapy, let's say, and I really need compassion. We have different ways. Or maybe I choose to work with abused animals. That's why I say there's variation involved, depending upon the particular quality. So we do have that choice. Yes.
And then can you just chuck it all once you're in life? Can you say, oh yeah, I feel like doing that, but I'm not doing that at all. I'm going to go over here and do something totally different.
Oh yeah, you can do that. But I would say 9 times out of 10, you're going to be pulled back onto the pathway. And you're going to have circumstances that come up in life that pick you up and put you onto that pathway. And that's what happened to me. Because you can veer off, but because of the Akashic Files, the book of life, what you planned, you made that agreement. So circumstances will conspire to put you back onto that pathway.
Yeah. It's funny. I was smiling as you said that because a light bulb went off for me talking to somebody who had a near-death experience. That's what it was for them. It was that reset to get them back on track. So for them, that's that event that happened so that they could really find their path.
A near-death experience is absolutely a reset. And I believe it happens to people who, for some reason, need that or require that. And then there's others that, like with me, it was a fire that burned me out of the business. And it was like, no, you're not going to do that anymore. Now you're going to do this. Remember, there's sort of that whisper from the intuition that says, remember this. This is what you came here to do. And when we look at things in life that's very, you know, catastrophic, like a fire, or, you know, I think with most people, a near death is a huge wake up call. And that's what these things are, wake up calls. You know, we can look at that and go, well, that was really painful or very disconcerting, but what did I learn from that? You know, it's all about learning and evolving.
I couldn't agree more with that. There's always something for us, I think, no matter what happens. I'm curious, just maybe this is kind of a everyday kind of question, but for you being so tuned in and so experienced and educated throughout all of this, and so, I just have to say it again, tuned in, how does that work practically? I mean, do you wake up in the night? Do you turn it off? Do you turn it on? Or is it just,
yes.
Okay. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah. Well, people have asked me, you know, over the years, clients, podcasts, what do you see when you go into a grocery store? Do you see spirits around people? No, because it's much like you're entering a room and you need light and you flip the switch to turn the light on. That's what it's like. And you know what does it for me? My prayer. I say a prayer at the beginning of every private session. I do a lot of group mediumship and, you know, group settings as well with anywhere from 10 people to 100 people. You know, it works the same way. Now, I don't do my little prayer when I'm doing groups, but that's what flips the switch. So I do that before groups. I do that beforehand. But anyone who is doing this work, you don't want to constantly be inundated with the spirit world. You know, we have a physical life here. So what you see on television with certain mediums, you know, they go into a bagel shop or they go, you know, they're walking down the sidewalk and they go, oh, by the way, you have a younger energy attached to you. And, you know, he passed in this way or whatever. That's really unethical. That's a TV show. You know, they're doing it for the TV show. But it's really unethical to come up to somebody. That's their private space. I mean, invading somebody's privacy, even if it's positive, you really should not do that. So I know how to turn it off. However, there are certain times, actually many times it's happened to me, where I will have a soul come to me prior to a reading, and I don't even know who the soul is. I mean, they're a stranger to me. And groups too. And they will come and, you know, I will see them or they will give certain information. And so that's pre the reading. And it's highly accurate when that occurs. And sometimes it's just the blending. And that's what has to happen with mediumship is blending. My soul blends with the soul of the spirit person. That's how it occurs.
Oh. Really?
Yes. So sometimes the blending happens ahead of physical time.
Oh, this is going to be a strong word, but so is there danger to you by doing that, blending your soul energy with another?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because of the natural law of attraction, that like energy attracts similar or identical energy. I do not put out anything negative, so I don't attract that. So the short answer is no, there's not a danger to me. But I know my limits too, as far as how many readings I can do in a day and be effective. I am not an assembly line medium. I would far rather give quality than quantity.
Yeah. Well, just out of curiosity, how many can you do in a day?
My limit is 3 1-hour readings in a day because it does require energy on my part.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
So to keep the integrity of mediumship and my own physical energy, that's what I limit myself to, is 3 1-hour sessions.
I'm still stuck on the blending of the energy. So let me ask one more question about that. So if the blending can start before the session, and then maybe you have the session, do you have a procedure or something to unblend it, or does it naturally just happen? How does that work?
I personally I will make movements that, you know, a cutting of that energetic cord, so to speak, and it should be done after every. Thank you for reminding me, because sometimes I forget. Usually that's how I do it. And yes, there is an unblending.
Oh, that's just really fascinating to me. I'd like to touch base with you on our current times. You know, these last several years have really been something for us. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, what are you seeing with this big transformation that we're undergoing on the planet right now? Can you lend some wisdom about that, you know, for us?
Yeah, there's a lot of chaos. Chaos, and by the way, in the new book that's coming out the end of this year, I write about the process of transformation, moving from point A to a new space. And I use the analogy of a bridge, you know, standing on one end of that bridge and then beginning to move across it to our new space on the other side of that bridge. Collective humanity has set one foot upon that bridge, but it's a very slow process. So there's a lot of awakening right now. Part of the process is chaos. That's part of the destruction of the old consciousness or the old way. That can be good, or it can be used positively, or it can be used negatively. Again, free will comes into play. So we have this, everything has a positive and negative, because another natural law is the law of polarity. And so those have to be blended to reach a good midpoint. So you're seeing a lot of what I consider destructive things going on. But on the other end, there's the opportunity then to rebuild. The phoenix rising from the ashes, you know, we've all heard that metaphor. That's what we're going through right now. And I'll just say this very briefly. The planet Pluto, which symbolizes in astrology the collective consciousness, shifted from the sign of Capricorn into the sign of Aquarius. Capricorn is about structures. It's about physicality. It's about the government, about banking, about anything that is sort of the network that has been established here. Aquarius says, I don't want anything to do with that. I want to spiral out my consciousness to all of humanity and the greater good. So Pluto currently is at very early degrees, and it moves very, very slowly. So what you're seeing is the shift out of those old entrenched ways into a new consciousness. And that's why you've heard so much too about AI, artificial intelligence. Aquarius rules the internet and anything electronic, and also the future. So what you're seeing is the shift from the old, which would be Capricorn, into the new. That's not always positive, because things can be used positively. Technology can be used positively, or it can be used negatively. What you're doing with podcasting is using it positively. So there's a lot of polarity going on right now in consciousness, and I think we have to come to the middle. Neither extreme is going to be the direction that we come into. So we need to blend. And that's going to take a long time.
When you say long time, what do you have in mind?
Years.
Years and years. Mm-hmm.
Because Pluto, as symbolic, this is why I have studied astrology, to help people and to help myself to understand my life and the collective consciousness. Pluto doesn't accomplish change quickly. Humanity does not. I mean, if you look throughout history, we're relatively dense as far as getting it. Okay. So it takes a long time to incorporate change, to integrate. We're right now in sort of what I consider the destructive phase. I mean, just take a look around. Watch the news for 2 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
And you'll understand. So we're sort of like, we got to get rid of these old ways of thinking. But what's happened is there's been an extreme. So the pendulum swung from here clear over to here. We need to get it back to the center. And that takes time, that you will blend both ends of those polarities. I mean, you know, politically, society, with culture, you know, and I mean, the whole thing with COVID was about transformation as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, as you were talking, I had the image of a forest and it burning down. I think we're in the burning down phase, but in the long term, that is opportunity, because a forest needs to burn every now and again to become actually healthier in the long run. So yeah, I do think we're in the burning phase, but I love how you framed it, that there's the positive and the negative of all of this. And we have a choice, right?
We do. And even though I'm extremely spiritually centered, I am very concerned about where we collectively are at right now. Because the truth is, and this may sound very harsh, but the universe really doesn't care if the human species extinguishes itself. It's still going to expand. It's still going to exist. And so it's up to us. It's up to every individual. It's not the other guy or the other woman. It's about the individual. And what it all starts there from within.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, it's our responsibility. You're so right. Gosh, Carol, I kind of went all over the place. And so I'm sorry about that. But you're just so knowledgeable about so many different things. And so I kind of did jump around a whole lot. So thanks for hanging with me. But I want to ask you, if people want to find out more about you, connect with you, how can they best do that? I mean, you have different books, and we'll put everything in the show notes. And also in the video description on YouTube, we'll allow people to easily find you. But just for them to know right now as they listen or watch, how can they best do that?
My website is Soul Visions. That's pluralvisions.net. And all of my books are also available, not only on my website, but through Amazon, Kindle, my publisher, Collective Inc. The imprint is 6 books, meaning 6 cents. And Barnes & Noble, Nook. So they're widely available. But for a private session, it's best to contact me through my website, soulvisions.net.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a pleasure it's been. Yeah. And I just really enjoyed it. I just can't thank you enough. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And from myself and the team here at Beyond the Reiki Gateway, we'd like to say thank you to our listeners for all of your support, including leaving great reviews, becoming BTRG insiders, and sharing the show with your friends and family. Drop us a line at info@beyondthereikigateway.com anytime. Tell us what's on your mind and take great care. Until next time. Thank you for listening, and you can check the show notes or visit the website beyondthereikigateway.com to find out more about the podcast and connect with me. Please keep in mind that views and opinions expressed in the show don't necessarily reflect those of the podcast or anyone affiliated with its production or advertising. This program is presented for your entertainment only, and all information provided is to be utilized at the listener's own discretion. I, along with the BTRG team, hope you enjoy the show as much as we enjoy making it for you. Wishing you highest blessings until we meet again beyond the Reiki Gateway.